Before coming to Stephen Wise, I spent several years as the director of education for a synagogue in Los Angeles. At the beginning of every school year, I would remind the parents that they had immense influence on their child's religious school experience without ever setting foot in the Hebrew school. I would implore them to think about how they talked about religious school to their children, especially the ones that might be a little reticent to come. If the parents conveyed the message of, when I was a kid, my parents made me go to Hebrew school, I hated it, I got through it, and now it's your turn. What kind of attitude and expectations do we expect our children to have? But if the parents were encouraging and said something along the lines of, how cool, you get to learn about your heritage, participate in fun activities, and make some new friends. Or even, Judaism is an important part of our family, and through this program, you will get to learn about who we are and where we come from. Then they were setting their child up to have a very different experience. Will this solve every problem? Not at all. But it will give the child the predisposition to find the positives rather than focus on the negatives. By setting the child up to have a positive perception of religious school, the child is more likely to see the positive experiences and use those to prove the initial perception correct. On the other hand, if their initial perception of religious school is that it's supposed to be boring, they will likely find that experience to validate their perception as well. The truth is, our mindset can influence our outcomes. Will we ace a test that we fail to study just by psyching ourselves up for it? Probably not. Will we hit the ball better than Aaron Judge simply by believing we can? Definitely not. But can a positive attitude encourage us to work harder, take calculated risks, and ultimately meet and exceed our expectations? Most definitely. And studies show that not only our personal attitude, but also the attitudes of those around us. If we surround ourselves with people who believe in us and who believe in our potential to succeed, our chances of succeeding go up. In 1968, Robert Rosenthal, a Harvard professor of sociology, and Lenore Jacobson, an elementary school principal in South San Francisco, conducted an experiment to see how the teachers' expectations of students impacted their actual performance. To do this, they administered a test to the students, and then based on test scores, they identified which students were expected to be the growth spurters, or the high achievers. Unbeknownst to the teachers involved in the study, the students were actually picked at random, not based on their test scores. 8 months later, the research team came back to see where the students were. What they found was that the students that had been randomly identified as high achievers had indeed achieved more than their other classmates. They didn't prosper on their own, though. The results also showed that those who had been identified as having the potential to be a higher achiever had received more attention from their teachers. They had been called on more, and they had received more detailed feedback on their work. As a result, those students saw a larger jump in their test scores than the other students in the class. These students, although they were not necessarily the highest achievers initially, had risen to meet the higher bar that had been set for them by their teachers. This week, we read one of the clearest examples in our Torah of how negative perceptions can limit our potential. In this week's parasha, Shelach Lecha, we find ourselves nearing the promised land. We're only in year two of wandering the desert. In order to get a better handle on what he's up against, Moses sends 12 spies into the land of Israel to get a lay of the land, one from each tribe. They return 40 days later. 10 of the spies report, the land is indeed flowing with milk and honey, but the people are large, the cities are fortified, and we will not be able to defeat them. The Israelites are distraught, saying it would have been better had they just stayed in Egypt. One of the other spies, Caleb, jumps in and tries to calm the crowd by reassuring them that although the people look tough, with God on our side, nothing is impossible. As hard as Caleb and Joshua tried, the people chose to listen to the 10 spies who said it wouldn't work, and they launched into yet another tirade against God. If only we had died in Egypt, or if only we might die here in the wilderness. Why is Adonai taking us to a land only to fall by the sword? Our wives and children will be carried off. It would be better for us to go back to Egypt. Joshua and Caleb again plead with the people, reminding them that though the task is difficult, we too are a strong people that can take possession of the land, especially with God on our side. But try as they might, they were unable to convince the masses that they could succeed. And in fact, the masses threatened to pelt them with stones if they continued trying to persuade them. Due to their fear of failure, the Israelites were paralyzed and unable to advance into Israel. Because they chose to listen to the negative reports of the 10 versus the positive of the 2, the Israelites' perception was that they could not safely conquer the land. This angers God. One, because the masses chose to listen to the negative instead of the positive. And secondly, it again showed their lack of faith, that if God was truly on their side, they should believe that anything is possible. How different might our story have been if they had listened to Joshua and Caleb and believed that even though the challenge would have been great, that we had the strength, the power, and the fortitude to enter and conquer the land. Angered, God decides that this generation of freed slaves had too negative an attitude and should not be allowed to be the settlers of the promised land. Therefore, the Israelites wandered for another 38 years until we were once again allowed to come close and finally enter the land of Israel. If we are to believe that our perception can change the outcome, then it follows that we should do our best to change our perceptions in order to set ourselves up for the greatest success. But of course, that's the hard part. Many of our natural perceptions and reactions are set from the time we are young and are habitual. That said, with effort and a determined spirit, we can change how we perceive things. Much of it is a mental game. We need to actually retrain our brain to see things the way we want to see them. It takes patience and deliberate thinking. Each time we catch ourselves thinking negative thoughts, we need to consciously replace them with new ones. For example, each time we catch ourselves not believing that we are capable of reaching our goals, we need to stop, interrupt those thoughts, and say, those are just my fears getting in the way. I am smart enough and capable enough to achieve my goals. Self-talk may seem silly at first, but studies have shown that by consciously working and training our brain to have a more positive outlook, we actually develop new habits. By consciously retraining our brain to default to belief in ourselves rather than disbelief, we can set ourselves up for success. Can you imagine if each time you wanted to take a leap of faith and your internal voice said, you can do it, go for it, rather than, nope, not gonna work, don't try. How is self-doubt holding us back? How would we approach our challenges differently if we either had our own belief or a team of people around us encouraging us and supporting us? What challenge might we take on if we had more confidence? Shabbat Shalom.